The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women and moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Hey ho, everybody.
We came from the West Virginia.
Here we are on a Tuesday night here, January 9th, 2018, here on the Trump Phenomenon. And I'm James Kelso. The show is live. It'll be easy for you to detect, usually, in any given show. There is so much spontaneity. Part of the spontaneity is your phone calls at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And this show is all about you, because the Trump Phenomenon is all about all of us. This, you know, if you had to figure out what's the game riding on right now, what's going to decide the next me? I'm can you believe it? I'm 69 years old. I can't even believe it. I'll be 70 in June. So this will decide for me. Sure, I'm going to live to be 100. Okay, we'll go with that. actuarial tables notwithstanding. But in the best of cases, I've got 30 years left. And it's all riding, really. Or more than on anything else, it's riding on Donald Trump. And for you folks out there that are 30 years old, you might live another 70 years, 60 years, and how those 60 years play out is being determined very significantly right now by what happens with the Trump administration. And it isn't fun. It isn't actually a pretty thing. You know, imagine yourself scaling one of those vertical faces in Yosemite, half dome or something, one of those vertical faces, and imagine that your whole life depends on one, what do they call those little things you hammer into the cracks in the rock, a piton, that you've got one kind of messed up piton and some frayed rope running through it, and your whole life depends on that. That's not a good feeling. And the fall below you is 800 feet on the rock. So, but that's kind of where we are. That's our situation could be viewed that way. I wish there were more really great things, so that if Donald Trump doesn't make it, well, we've got backup positions B, C, D, and E, but we don't. Now, in the news this week on sort of the train wreck that has befallen Steve Bannon, well, we do have backup positions for, one of the soldiers, in this case, Steve Bannon. Any of us can be replaced. I can certainly be replaced. But Donald Trump, can he be replaced? Ooh, I don't know. Who do you have in mind? So much is riding on. That's why I created this show, The Trump Phenomenon. It is a phenomenon in every sense of the word, and it has continued to be that since we started the show, and it becomes all the more so as the days go by, and today being no exception. So let's launch into the show. What's the biggest white knuckle news today? Well, it's that Donald Trump is in the middle of what seems to be a negotiation of a possible deal on DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which putatively number 800,000, but that's a completely rubbery number. How many people are DACAs? It's, you know, that's like every other immigration number. It's proved that has previously proved to be utterly rubbery. There's no, I mean, think about it for a second, folks. Hard and fast statistics on illegals? What's wrong with that statement? We've got accurate data on our people who are here illegally, and we're keeping close track of them. No, I mean, come on, use your brain. Not you folks in this audience, of course, all of you are using your brain, but you people out there that don't get it, use your brain. People who don't listen to this show. And so an awful lot's riding on it. Let me see if I can find Ann Coulter should have a column on this up already. I'll tell you, if she must be running. She must be breathless trying to keep up with this pace of events. All of us are. No, she's not. Her latest column is not addressing this at all. Boy, I'm telling you, she must be out of breath. Her last column is a January 3rd editorial. And let me tell you, folks, 6 days it today is an eternity. Well, let's go to the we'll come back to that DACA story here in a moment. I talked about, you know, we're all expendable and we're all replaceable, I think, except Donald Trump. Here's the headline at Breitbart. Stephen K. Bannon steps down from Breitbart News Network. And the story, here is the story. Stephen K. Bannon has stepped down from Breitbart News, and this is being announced as a top story on Breitbart, where he served as executive chairman since 2012. Bannon and Breitbart will work together on a smooth and orderly transition. So his position, executive chairman. Bannon said, "I'm proud of what the Breitbart team has accomplished in so short a period of time in building out a world-class news platform. And bravo for our compatriot Steve Bannon in having that large-minded sentiment as his parting thought. According to Breitbart CEO Larry Solov, quote, "Steve is a valued part of our legacy, and we will always be grateful for his contributions and what he has helped us to accomplish," unquote. So those are pretty ringing words. Larry Solov saying a valued part of our legacy. Legacy as in, folks, that's a hard word. That'll create a lump in anybody's throat. So like Steve Bannon, who worked so hard, executive chairman since 2012. That's going on 6 years. No, it's going on 7 years. And the word legacy is all past tense. And that's tough. Somebody would feel better saying, we're going to be working closely with Steve. He's got new opportunities, which is the sort of thing that was being said when he shifted over to be chief strategist at the White House and couldn't work day to day with Breitbart or maybe even at all. So that was more fun to be able to say that than he's a valued part of our legacy. So that's tough on Bannon and on everybody. But not to Steve Bannon would be the first to say, if he were right here right now, he'd be the first one to say, Hank Williams Jr. song and the if we had a show tomorrow in Provo, they're singing about Hank Williams Jr.'s dad. He'd be the first on the bus and ready to ride. And Steve Bannon has been that way, and first on the bus and ready to ride. So he has been a team member. He'll continue to be a team member. This is a lot of what happened here. And oh, this is the outcome of what this nasty book by Michael Wolff, Fire and Fury, which is a setup job all the way, an effort to cause as much damage to the Trump presidency as possible. Steve Bannon took it on the chin. He really is the biggest loser, or the biggest victim of Wolf's nefariousness. In their interviewing people in the White House, probably lying like a rug to get those interviews, and then probably faking and falsifying bits and pieces where he could of the interviews. You know, you change one word or omit a sentence in a quote, folks, it devastatingly can change the quote. So this Michael Wolff, a snake, we know that. Big mistake for anybody to have let him into the White House. That was the first mistake. Second mistake was talking to him at all. And so his hit piece, successful in taking out Steve Bannon. But hopefully there'll be, a continued great role for Steve Bannon. He'll come up with something. He'll land on his feet and come up with something great. Some great initiative. So that's the story there. Let's see if some other stories that are very interesting. Let's go to the other story we're covering, which is also huge, which is the DACA negotiations going on between Donald Trump and a leadership group of House and Senate members. And here's Ann Coulter's headline. Nothing Michael Wolff could say about Trump has hurt him as much as the DACA love fest. Yeah, that's a strong headline. Tell us what you really think, Ann. New York Times bestselling author and populist conservative columnist Ann Coulter. This is John Binder writing at Breitbart. We still rely on Breitbart for the good straight news. Ann Coulter says nothing in Michael Wolff's recent salacious book, Fire and Fury, could hurt President Trump as much as his statement on Tuesday, that's today, that an amnesty for illegal aliens will be a bill of love. So, during a meeting at the White House on giving amnesty to nearly 800,000 illegal aliens shielded from deportation by the President Obama-created Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA program, Trump called an amnesty deal a bill of love for illegal aliens. And here's the quote from our president. This should be a bill of love, truly. It should be a bill of love, and we can do that, Trump said. I really do believe, Democrat and Republican, the people sitting in this room really want to get something done, Trump said. Back to the Breitbart article. Coulter says that Trump's comments on amnesty for illegal aliens is far worse than Wolf's recent Fire and Fury book, in which he says Trump is worse than everybody thought. So Wolf is, he's savage. He is nasty, using every dirty trick, every eye gouge and groin kick known to man in his book, Fire and Fury. But Ann Coulter saying that was nothing compared to the damage that Donald Trump could inflict upon himself by trying to, not delivering on his promise, no amnesty. And here's Ann Coulter's tweets. Her tweet is, Trump, flanked by Democrats and open borders GOPs, announces plan for 100% open-ended amnesty, and then she has in parentheses per courts. So that's a little bit obscure right there, but I think what she means is Donald Trump isn't going to advertise it as a 100% open-ended amnesty, but what Ann Coulter is quite cognizant of is that the kind of thing Donald Trump is considering ends up being open amnesty because of the court action that is guaranteed to follow. Then Ann Coulter's next tweet, she says, but don't worry, there will be border security, in quotes, ironic quotes, a political euphemism for you're not getting the wall. So I think Ann Coulter's mad. That was she tweeted that today. Those two tweets were right after lunch today. Then she tweets, this DACA love fest confirms a main thesis of Michael Wolff's book. When Bannon left, liberal Democrats Jared, Ivanka, Cohn, and Goldman Sachs took over. Now, those are brutal words. Now, remember, Ann Coulter is the author of In Trump We Trust. I've got a copy right here. E Pluribus Awesome. Here's my copy right here. Wait a minute. I've got two copies. They're both sitting on top of my copy of Adios America, which is the book she wrote right before Donald Trump appeared from the clouds in June of 2015, coming down the escalator at Trump Tower to save our bacon. In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome. So Ann Coulter is not shy about her support for Donald Trump. You could not imagine a more effusive title than this one, this great book that she wrote. And this was published, let's see here, publication dates don't mean a whole lot anymore. Everything's happening so fast. Well, it just says copyright 2016, but what was the month? Because things are happening so fast now, you have to look at the day of the month almost. Anyway, back to Ann Coulter's tweets and John Binder's column here on Breitbart. After agreeing with DiFi, I guess DiFi is Dianne Feinstein, that standalone DACA will come first, and she capitalizes that word first, Trump's muscle memory kicks in and he cites Israel saying nothing but a wall will work. Now, that's her tweet a few minutes later. And then she says in her final tweet on this matter, nothing Michael Wolff could say about Donald Trump has hurt him as much as the DACA love fest right now. So we know Donald Trump reads Ann Coulter. You've heard Ann Coulter introduce our president at a primary campaign trail event. And Ann Coulter is famous for having, I don't know, literally or figuratively having taken Donald Trump aside to say, please, Mr. President, you can't hire your kids. That doesn't work. And and that's the theme that Michael Wolff plays off of in his book, pitting Steve Bannon against Jared Kushner and Ivanka, and Don and Eric less so. And trying to create as much friction as possible, and that's what a garbage writer like Michael Wolff does. That's his job on the left. And then here's the continuation of the Breitbart article. Trump's seeming promise, that's an important adjective there, seeming, we don't know, to give DACA illegal aliens amnesty is a break from his populist campaign promises and pro-American immigration agenda, where he once said, quote, there will be no amnesty, unquote. Under a DACA amnesty, Breitbart News reports, the number of citizen children of illegal aliens. I'll pick it up right there. Take your calls. We got Scott in Arizona. We'll be right back. It'll still last 10 years like the show. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprise 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Let's zero in on the big story of the day. President Trump's meeting with members of the Senate on immigration and DACA. And the I've got it here. Let's listen a little bit to some of the discussion that's going on here. This lasts for 54 minutes. We're only going to play seconds from it. But here's some of the exchange.
That they haven't wanted to protect the vulnerable people that we're all here talking about. We're talking about everything except doing something for the DACA kids. You know, I would...
Okay, we'll skip this guy. All I can see is his bald head from the back. I recognize his voice, but I... Let's go a little further into this.
There needs to be a willingness on both sides. And I think... And I don't know how you would feel about this, but I'd like to ask the question... What about a clean DACA bill now?
That's Dianne Feinstein. Of course, horrid. let's listen to somebody else. Here's Donald Trump. about two-thirds of the way into this meeting.
When you talk about the subject that we're all mentioning right now, I think they had, how many people came in? 22 to 24 people came in through him. He's a killer. He's a guy who ran over many people, eight died. 10 to 12 are really badly injured. So I really think that a lot of people are going to agree with us now on that subject. I really don't see there's a big...
70% of Americans want the immigration policy to be the family, yeah, the nuclear family, and the worker. 70%.
David, chain migration now has taken a very big hit in the last year with what's happening. I mean, you're looking at these killers, whether you like or not. We're looking at...
Okay, so what Donald Trump's doing there, he's got all these left-wing Democrats seated around the table, and Republicans as well, and he's trying to talk some reason into them about what's wrong with open borders. I mean, this is pretty embarrassing, you know, that this is our government, not Donald Trump, of course, but these clowns in the Democratic Party. Here we go.
These killers, and then you see 18 people came in, 22 people came in, 30 people came in with this one person that just killed a lot of people. I really don't believe there are a lot of Democrats that are going to be supporting chain migration anymore.
Should we have the Homeland Security Secretary?
Yeah, if you don't mind, just a couple things on border security. I just want to try to make sure we're all linking. The reason that border security is so important to have as part of this discussion is that it doesn't solve the problem if we can apprehend people, but we can't remove them. So we need the wall system, which is some physical infrastructure, as the president described, personnel and technology, but we have to close those legal loops.
Okay, so that's the Homeland Security speaking there, Kirsten. And the this is like sort of a duh session here. It's incredibly important. And the faces of the Democrats sitting around the table here are very dour faces. They recognize this is, they recognize, I mean, their faces are telling us they know they're wrong on immigration. Here, let's go a little later in the meeting here to see the flavor of it. And I don't think, there's no done deal here in this meeting here today, folks. This is an opening salvo. And the next shoe to fall is us, is the response, the public response to this. And it's going to be a firestorm of, please, Mr. President, don't make any kind of a deal of the kind that these rats like Feinstein want.
Our vehicle itself.
That's in our bill, too.
Yeah, and I know. So the other thing that we got to look at, the wall itself, Mr. President, if you talk to your Border Patrol chief, or the former Border Patrol chiefs, I've asked them, how much time does a wall buy you? They'll say a couple minutes or a few seconds. And this is our own Border Patrol chiefs that have said that.
It's not mine.
But
not the ones I spoke to.
Well,
not the ones I spoke to. They say without the wall, right, we cannot have border security.
Okay. So here's a Democrat saying the wall, we don't need a wall. We don't need no stinking wall because it only slows down the invasion by a couple of minutes. Of course, that's just utter BS. I can't see this guy's name. I can't see his name. But obviously a Democrat. So let's go a little later in this conversation. It's great that we have the whole thing on record. This is wonderful. Let's go a little later, see if we get one of these Democratic idiots or somebody with their head screwed on straight.
We have a lot of smart people in this room, really smart people. We have a lot of people that are good people, big hearts. They want to get it done. I think almost everybody, I can think of one or two I don't particularly like, but that's okay. No, I think everybody.
Typical Trump humor. We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendolite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
This meeting that Donald Trump held today in the White House, I'm trying to figure it out myself right now. And Donald Trump is an incredible chess player and an incredible negotiator. So what his inner game is, I have not divined yet myself here. He does say a few very good things about we have to have a wall. You're wasting your time if you don't have a wall, a real wall. And so some good things are said here. But the audience is these left-wing, senator you just heard was Henry Cisneros of Texas. These are really lousy Americans. And I don't know how much you could expect from a meeting like this. Donald Trump is, I guess, in some way humoring them or trying to be civil with them, and he may have a strategy there. I mean, it is kind of remarkable that they're all sitting at the table and they're talking. But there isn't any deal that could come out of a meeting like this that then becomes law. That's far from it. It just becomes a recommendation that came out of a meeting of some senators with the president. So what we'll see, what will be leaked out or announced in the next couple of days, we, the Patriot community, we will be responding to it. And, of course, our president will be studying that very closely. So I can't wait to see what Ann Coulter has to say tomorrow after she studied this, which only occurred a few hours ago, this meeting, and after more information about it gets out. But the this is going to be never a dull moment in the life of the Trump phenomenon. Tom in Florida, you're on the air, you're on the phone and with us. Come in, Tom.
Yeah, James, I'm here. Yeah, James, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, James, that was your monologue has been great tonight. Yeah, I watched the whole thing, and I got to say that the guy's name was Henry Cineros, Texas. He's a real lib, blowhard. He wants a flooding of Texas so they can turn into a blue state. That's what that guy's whole modus operandi is. But yeah, James, it was an amazing thing actually in a way because the only guy that actually outspoke, helped out Trump a little bit was Sonny Perdue of Georgia. He's the one that actually did speak up pretty good for Trump. That guy, the real fascinating thing to me was this guy, McCarthy. He's from California. The state's been invaded with multiple millions of illegals, and he didn't actually have, he was sitting next to Steny Hoyer. Steny Hoyer, he didn't actually say much. And that was kind of disgusting to me because you'd think that guy McCarthy would actually speak up and say, you know, our state's been flooded, our hospitals are closing, it's a disaster what's happened in California. But none of these people in California have any balls to say anything. But yeah, James, I do want to say this about that. Bob Goodlatte, everybody in your listening audience ought to get a hold of Bob Goodlatte. He's the one that's actually writing the bill. And you got to flood his office with phone calls, Bob Goodlatte, and he's the one that's going to be pushing his bill forward in the House. And he needs to make this the strongest bill possible. Well, I don't see no kind of deal being done. And I say, you may not believe this, James, but I think Trump, in the end, may potentially have to send them all back. And that's the best scenario can actually happen.
Well,
send 800,000 back, and then you send a message.
Yes, and folks,
James?
Let's widen the scope of our range of possibilities. One of the things that can be done here is nothing. That might be very much the right thing to do. The DACA people don't need to be... this has been ongoing for what, almost 10 years? These people, there's no emergency that has to be solved tomorrow or next week. And the DACA people have not been allowed to have citizenship all these years. That can be continued, no problem on that. Even Obama did that. I'm sure Obama wanted to get them citizenship, but even Obama did not do that. He just kept this illegal, unconstitutional order rolling by renewing it was it 2 years or a year? He renewed his order giving them the DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, giving them, even though they're now 35 and up, giving them the ability to stay in the United States and not be touched by immigration services.
Yeah, James. So, James, did you see during the interview, Steny Hoyer, Donald Trump's told Steny Hoyer right to his face, no, so many people are 41 years old, 42 years old, and that Steny Hoyer, his face looked like a sourpuss. When Trump, I watched the whole thing, when Trump told him that, he's like, he squinched his beady little eyes so shut it looked like he couldn't even see out of them. And then Donald Trump said, no, none of these people are not young men. These are 40, 41, 42-year-old men. And yeah, James, over here in Florida, you know, they got rid of TPP. And now these Haitians in South Florida, they're all in an uproar and all that because there's 50,000 of them going to be sent back to Haiti along with these Salvadorians. Well, you know what? They're not permanent. I can't believe they've been here this long. They've been here 16 years. That should have never been allowed.
Yes.
Never. And that's a disgrace to itself.
Right. And Donald Trump has done the right thing with several of these groups like the El Salvadorans, saying, okay, you've been here long enough, and I'm not going to give you 200,000 people another break. You can go back to your native land. But here's the thing. I think, folks, that we in the Patriot community, we can get this ball. We certainly can do this. Get this idea rolling. Build momentum on it, which is this. You have to – if you can't send people back, if you know how a ratchet – wrench works in your toolbox there in the garage. It only goes in one direction, you know. So, you know, then tighten. It only goes one way until you, you know, change the toggle on it. But we can't have an immigration policy where everybody that gets in is in, and then nobody can be kicked out. We're doomed with that. We have to have the ability. If people are invading our country, we have to have the ability to send a lot of them back. Not a tiny trickle, a lot of them, not just murderers, not just MS-13 gang members, but everyday people who got into this country illegally. They need to be able to, we have to be able to send them back, or we're doomed. Our country will be overwhelmed. It will be swamped. So the DACAs are perfect. And I love what Ann Coulter said in an earlier column about 2 weeks ago. She said, you know, the best, what's the right way to deal with the DACAs? Let's send them back. And let's, here's what we can do in the Patriot community. Without, dripping hatred of these people and so on, which is less persuasive, we can say, as we did on the show here last night, we can say, look, these people need to be sent back to their home countries. This is not their home. We're nice people who want to send these people back to their native lands, their homelands. We want them to do fix up their countries, just as we sent so many hundreds of thousands of young Americans off around the world in the Peace Corps. We want these people to be their own Peace Corps. Go back to your country, you Mexicans, you El Salvadorans, you Nicaraguans. Go back to your country, you Nigerians, and we'll help you. We'll help you fix up your country. We'll make things as easy as possible for you, so you can go back, take the skills you learned that you were blessed to receive in America. You got some great skills. You got used to a culture that's civilized. Go back to your uncivilized world and see if you can teach them civilization. So this would be the greatest Peace Corps. Yes, go ahead.
You're absolutely right, James. Everything you're saying is right on target. It's right on the money. I mean, but you know what, James, that's another thing. It all comes about down to the money, too. These Democrats, they want the cheap labor, James, and I hope everything you say turns out the way it is. And Ann Coulter is 100 million times correct. But, James, I'm just praying that Trump doesn't cave in on this like you said earlier. I hope he has the cojones, the waywolves or balls, whatever you want to call it. He's going to stay with this. He's not going to cave in. Let's just see how it plays out, James, but you're 100% correct. These people need to go back, bring their skills that they learned in this great country of ours, and let them take care of their countries and their culture, and they should be proud of that.
Right.
And otherwise, they don't even want to speak English, James, tell you the truth. That's another thing that should have been brought up at that meeting. Are they actually going to be proficient in English, which is very huge?
Well, and most importantly, they need not to not be in America, whether they learn English or not.
Yes.
They're not us. They're not our people. We have no
You're
obligation.
Correct.
We don't have no obligation to be the dumping ground for everybody in the world. Whereas other nations and folks, I mean, and we can sell this. We can get this message out there. There doesn't have to be a deal right now. The DACA people that can be postponed if necessary. They can be strung out. But the point that we can make as patriots is every other nation in the world: Mexico, China, Nigeria, every other ethnic group in the world maintains their ethnicity jealously and fiercely, and they do not open their countries up. No one, not one country outside of European nations opens their country. Not a single one, folks. No matter what a hellhole of poverty and disease it may be, they don't want people to come invade their hellhole even. So we, Americans, Australians, Canadians, and Europeans, we can make this point that we are not the dumping ground of the world. We have no moral obligation whatsoever to receive any, not one, of these people. And if we send them back to their native countries, we're not being cruel. We're not being mean. We're not doing something wrong. We're sending them back to their countries. And we're sending them back with a lot of skills and knowledge that they learned here. As I said, getting used to the idea of civilization, for example, and maybe they can spread civilization, as unlikely as it may seem, in Nigeria Mexico or Cambodia. Maybe they can bring civilization to those places. But that's That is incumbent upon them. That's their moral duty. They have shirked their moral duty by bailing out on their own people, bailing out on their own country, and then squatting in on us. They are the moral shirkers. They're not heroes. They're not dreamers. They're a nightmare. And
right on, James. It's not. They might be dreamers, but it's our nightmare. James, one more thing. I'll let you go. I know you got other callers. Mexico is 15 times more dangerous than Afghanistan. It was in the paper and the Herald. 15 times more dangerous than Afghanistan in the Middle East. Do you know that?
Yes. It's hard to call it a civilization. If you live in a country where routinely beheaded corpses are lined up along the highway with missing hands and feet and gouged out eyeballs, and this goes on, and this includes judges who are lined up with these people, people found lynched from bridge overpasses. This is not a civilization, boys and girls. This is the jungle. This is the Aztec Empire still rolling heads down the pyramids after they pluck out the living beating hearts and hold them up to the at the top of their temple, and then they chop the limbs off and kick the body parts down the temple. Did you see the movie Apocalypto, folks? That's so accurate. Mel Gibson's movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it tonight.
Great movie.
Yeah, Apocalypto. That hasn't changed. Apocalypto is still alive and well in places like Mexico. And, those people, if we send them back to their semi-civilized or uncivilized nations, we're doing them the greatest. We are being the greatest humanitarians we could possibly be. There's no possible way that the United States can be and Europe, that we can accept. How many people in the world want to get out of where they are and want to get into our European nations? Well, there's close on 8 billion people in the world. Something like a billion or less of them are us. Those other 7 billion, they all want to be here. All of them. They would all prefer to be here. That can't happen. And there's no fractional number of that 7 billion people that would be, well, if we accept those, let's say we accept 1 billion of them. I mean, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But that's where we're headed. If we accepted 1 billion of these non-whites, these third worlders, or even second world non-whites, if we accept them, the plight of the third worlders isn't improved particularly, may even be worsened. So we're not solving their problems by flooding our own nation with their people. This is a problem we can't solve by importing them. The only thing, it's like a lifeboat. It's out in the water. And it holds 12 people. And it now has 14 people in it already. And there are 50 people in the water who all want to get on board that lifeboat. Guess what? They're all going to drown. Because they're going to sink the lifeboat.
Yes, sir.
So we can't hold these people. We can't help them. We can only kill ourselves and destroy our own civilization. So anyway, Tom, thank you very much.
James, James, you got it. James, can I say one more thing, James?
Yeah.
James, Dade County, I want you to notice, for 20 years, hasn't had one white male on the Miami-Dade County Commission because they usurped all the white power. You see, you see for 50 years, 60 years, you see white males on the commission, and the mayor was a white Anglo. You've got one white male on the Miami-Dade County Commission, let alone Broward County only has like four left. The proof is in the pudding. It's right there, James.
Yes,
they don't come in to compliment. They came to usurp.
Yeah, and I've lived out in South Florida with you there, Tom. I lived in West Palm Beach, and I also lived in the Panhandle in Panama City Beach, and the folks, demography, as our caller said yesterday, a great caller on the show said, demography is destiny, and it certainly is. Demography meaning what? The people that you let into your country, that is the future of your country, and if we flood our country, right, we're not going to make people who don't share our race, our religion, our history, our culture, our genes, we're not going to make them into us. I like what Jared Taylor says. Only we can be us. It's like a, you know, self-evident tautology. Only we can be us. We're not going to make Cambodians, good luck in Minnesota across the river from me here. Good luck in making the Hmong into Americans. You know, the Hmong, H-M-O-N-G, the ones that were out with rifles shooting Minnesotans instead of deer. You're not going to make Hmong into Americans. They're Hmong, and they need to have their Hmong culture in their Hmong lands, just like every other people needs to be. Sweden for the Swedes, Denmark for the Danes, Italy for the Italians, Nigeria for the Nigerians, Chile for the Chileans, and on down the list. That kind of nationalism makes sense, and you can sell it as being, you can say, well, this is not a racist idea. This is an intelligent idea.
Thank you, James. Tom, thank you for a great show. You always have the greatest.
Well, thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285 shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When this war is over, it will be but a day.
We're back, folks, and I'm going to go right to the end of this 54-minute session that Donald Trump had with the press at present, and then they went into a closed session after the press was ushered out of the room. But here is, at the very end, Donald Trump, before making a nice joke about hoping that Oprah Winfrey does run against him in 2020, and he'll handily beat her, he gets some good laughs with that one, but... now he's, this is just exchange going back and forth between the The rude press shouting their questions and cameras clicking and so on. It's pretty chaotic. But Donald Trump does say one last thing. I'm going to play that. That's worrying people a lot today, and maybe more than they need to be worried about it. But he does make the statement. Listen to what he says, and use your own evaluation here. Here's the last comments today.
It seems to me not much has actually changed here in terms of your positions at this particular
meeting. No, I think it's changed. Since we're the flies, I think my positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with. I am very much reliant on the people in this room. I know most of the people on both sides. I have a lot of respect for the people on both sides. And what I approve is going to be very much reliant on what the people in this room come to me with. I have great confidence in the people. If they come to me with things that I'm not in love with, I'm going to do it because I respect them.
Now, that last sentence was the worst sentence of the meeting. But I don't know. We might be making too much of it if we worry it to death. We're going to have to find out tomorrow and the next day as this plays out. I don't think Donald Trump is too smart. He's too much of a hero to have really said, I'm going to do what Dianne Feinstein wants to do. He did not say that. He might be making a very savvy movement here as a negotiator with the art of the deal, knowing that these people seated at that table, the Republicans and the Democrats, are not going to come to a deal. It is going to be an impasse. So he may be outsmarting a lot of people by simply saying, I'm going to let these people figure it out, knowing they're not going to figure it out. And then he will, in fact, have to simply advocate his own position. So I think that's a distinct possibility. I don't see these communists in the Democratic Party approving a wall, approving the end to chain migration, approving the end to the visa lottery. I don't see them doing that. And I do see Donald Trump insisting that all of those things be guaranteed, that they be set in concrete before DACA people are allowed with no family reunification, no chain migration, allowed to improve their status from the one they have right now, from their point of view, certainly not from our point of view. So anyway, that's my final take on that for today. We'll get back to it tomorrow. You can be sure the world is going to be abuzz about this. Ann Coulter's her hair is going to be on fire. Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, all of us, everybody who's covering this presidency, this is all they're going to be talking about in the next couple of days. So we'll be back with more of it tomorrow. Hope you'll be here with us. We'll see you then. So long.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.